Me? You? Us? Missionaries? Really? Well, as I looked at that title and looked at something of what you've been looking at over recent weeks, I wanted to have a secondary title for this sermon here today too, which goes along the lines of obedience. Obedience on the mountaintops and in the deepest valleys. And there's a PowerPoint that is perhaps coming up shortly that highlights the two Bible passages that we have heard read. Thank you for those readings there this morning. And I want to bring those two passages together as we contemplate the bringing together of the two titles as well. Us, missionaries, and being obedient at all times. I want firstly to be able to imagine something of Elijah's situation. You heard Jim tell us that which occurred just before the reading in 1 Kings 19. There was a when the prophets were praying, the Baal's prophets were praying to Baal, hoping to bring fire down. And they were unsuccessful. And then Elijah did the praying to our God. But before he prayed, he poured water everywhere over this, the wood and the sacrifice. And it seemed like, well, why would this guy, how could fire come at this time? There are trenches dug and water had filled the trenches. And yet Elijah's God came through with fire. And he had a success, or God showed himself powerfully at that time. So he would have been on a mountaintop experience. Elijah had just shown the power of God. Well, let me rephrase that. God had shown his own power to these people. And I want us for a moment to just think of some mountaintop experience that we may have had. Any time in your life. And just to contemplate what may have happened after that. And it may be that there may be a progression then down into a deep valley. I want you to be able to think today something in your life that fits into this situation here. So before I go on, may I just open in prayer. Almighty God, may it be that we would hear from your word today the message that you want to speak into our individual lives, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will speak, that you would speak individually here, that experiences that we have felt will come to life in accordance with what your word can say and how your word can speak into our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to just start by emphasizing some of the verses here from reading verses 36 back in 1 Kings chapter 18. I've spoken, and Jim mentioned too, about what was happening at this time with the praying to the God for fire to come. And then in verse 36 of 1 Kings 18, at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, The Lord He is God. The Lord, He is God. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let them get away. They seized them And Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. And then jumping down to the very last two verses before that which was read, in 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." So Elijah was afraid. He'd just had this mountaintop experience. God had shown himself in fire, and victory was there. But now he's running for his life, afraid and running for his life. Is this going to... I don't know whether this is going... Yes, there we go. So Elijah says to God... Well, at various times we might be able to relate to Elijah's first plea. I've had enough. I can't take this anymore. It might be in our work, in our finances, or lack of work, or lack of finances, our study, or in our relationships. I've had enough. I can't keep going. And quite possibly some of us may know of someone, if not ourselves, who has thought their situation is so far... I think I need to hold this up, do I? There we go, okay. So every time, okay. So he's had enough, and then it might be that we know of somebody, if not ourselves, that has thought their situation is so far beyond a point of return that they consider taking their life in their own hands. And probably more of us have entered into the old comparison game of thinking that I'm no better than somebody else who could do this that God might be calling me to. Well, can I just share with you one of my personal frustrations to try and bring this passage here to life? My frustration over the last couple of 2.5 years, one of my greatest frustrations has been the difficulty that an old man like me has in trying to learn a new language. And I can make myself be understood virtually all of the time, but it's not in perfect Spanish. But worse than that for me is that I find it difficult to be able to hear them when they're speaking at their full speed. Now, people are patient with me, but I am placing a burden on myself there, perhaps that many others are not. And I'm feeling like, how can I do this stuff? And I think it's right. I do need to take care and to make sure that I'm not being foolish and not learning the language rapidly enough compared to my children who at ages, whatever their ages are, they're fluent. But I've had this real frustration. But if it hadn't been for a difficulty in learning the language or my need to learn the language, the many opportunities that have been laid before me would not have existed. For instance, in recent months, I've been able to meet with Spaniards outside of my normal teaching them English occasions, classes, meeting them in their homes or in local bars or restaurants near their workplace. They come to me to be able to talk about whatever they want. And we talk English for half of the time and Spanish for the other half of the time. I tell you, the amount that I've learned about them as people and Spanish culture and how to be able to minister to them and how to be able to speak about things like marriage and values and homosexuality and abortion and euthanasia, incredible discussions. And bringing just in the way, in by way of them wanting to talk with me because they want to help me with my Spanish and I want to help them with their English, opportunities that simply would not have existed if I had been fluent in Spanish. And so here was I getting all frustrated about my, you know, perfectionism and wanting to be better at the language than I am, when God was just saying, "David, take it easy. There are opportunities here that I am providing for you. Yes, of course, go and learn and get better, as is happening. But worry less about these things." And so in those frustrations and times of frustration, I've seriously thought, I've come home from Spanish church services and after struggling, talking with the people or not understanding them, I'm thinking, if a Spaniard came to Australia and had been there for a couple of years and couldn't speak the language, English, as well as he wanted, I might be thinking as an Australian, well, what are you doing here, man? What are you doing here? Well, you see, God has placed us there for purposes. And I need to sometimes let go of that perfectionism, that frustration, to allow God to work and minister in that very situation. And I wonder if there could be things like this for you in your life, be it work, family, relationships, whatever it might be, that God can say, hey, just take it easy. Don't beat yourself up so much. And let God work in that situation. But there's definitely a fine balance between recognizing our own shortcomings, our sinfulness, and having appropriate humility and depending upon God to equip us rather than doing things in our own strength. We have to be able to submit ourselves before Him and allow Him to work through us rather than us trying to do it in our own strength. Let us have a look now then at what God says to Elijah. Okay, so God said to Elijah, get up and eat. This is after he has been there walking for a day and exhausted, and he lies down and sleeps. Get up and eat. And out in the desert, what do you suppose he'd normally find lying just by his head when he wakes up? Oh, of course, it's a load of hot coals with bread baked over the top of the hot coals. This is our God who provides all our needs. And we've heard of his provision today. I cannot testify enough of the way in which God provides our needs. Do you know, I seriously say this to myself, that it is only my own impatience and desire for something now that causes me to be that frustrated and thinking, God, give me patience and hurry up! I'm serious. And in every form of the things that we need, this God of ours provides in incredible ways. But how often is it that we actually receive something incredible only to have Satan distract us or some disappointment come our way to take the joy of that provision away? I can tell you numerous times I am the sinner who has fallen into that situation of receiving something incredible and a note. I want to just read this note. There was a day only about a month ago, if I can say, a sizable sum of money came from what I would call a most unlikely source. And the joy that came, that was in this woman's heart, as Catherine had been ministering to her at church, and she just rang and said, Catherine, can I come around tomorrow? Yeah, sure. She came around and we thought we'd be ministering again and helping her. And she said, Catherine, I just want to give this. She didn't even want to give it in my presence. She wanted just to give it to Catherine because it meant so much to her to be able to give an amount of money. And the note that she wrote went like this: Sister Catherine, please accept this token and thank you for making me a shareholder in the business and a partaker in the blessings of Soul Wing. God bless you. This woman, I don't know how she had that amount of money, 600 euros. And yet the joy in her heart of giving, she told a story of how she wanted to give, I think 10 or 20 years, a long time ago, to a pastor, and she felt embarrassed and couldn't and didn't give. And it's burdened her ever since. And yet the joy that she had in giving, in being a shareholder, working, helping in bringing people to Christ. She reckoned that she couldn't do what we were doing, but that she could finance some of what we were doing. And that blessing, the joy on her heart, on her face, will never leave me in recognizing that that was her way of working in that situation. And yet, I got to that point because not long after that afternoon, I was getting down on myself again and thinking, oh no, we need this or we need that. And yet the Lord had just provided from the most unlikely source. And that reminds me of Mark 12:42, when the poor widow came and put in the two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. And in verse 44 there, they all gave out of their wealth. The wealthy people gave out of their wealth. But she, the poor widow, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. And I was feeling like this woman was that poor woman. And she'd given so much, and we were recipients out of God's provision. God knows our needs, and he provides accordingly. Absolutely. And then, what came after, in Get Up and Eat, and so I've spoken about this, that God's provision for Elijah's 40-day and 40-night journey. He said, get up and eat again, so to be ready to go on that journey. And he knew what Elijah needed. He provided it. And so Elijah, I'm sorry to have to keep on doing this. It's not working. Okay, so Elijah was equipped for the journey that God had for him. We each need to be able to answer the next question. And this was a funny part of entering here today, because I was asked at the front door, well, what are you doing here? And I thought the guy knew that I was preaching on this very topic, where God says to Elijah in verses 9 and 13, what are you doing here? And we need to be able to answer that question. We need to know what it is that motivates us to do the things that we do. We need to know what is our primary purpose in doing the things that we choose to do. And Elijah answered out of a place of fear, twice, saying what he has done and experienced rather than what he is doing now. And it's almost a little bit like we did that this morning, because we actually didn't get on to the bits that we are doing now. But that's for email correspondence in the future. Elijah replies to God saying, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left now, and now they are trying to kill me too. So God answers him saying, go out and stand in the presence of the Lord. First, God said, look after your physical needs. Get up and eat, rest, physical needs. And he provided those physical needs. But hey, there's spiritual needs here as well. Get up, go out and stand in the presence of the Lord. And then furthermore, in verse 11, then a great and powerful wind came, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake came, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. And finally, what was it? A gentle whisper. A gentle whisper is what the volume of the voice that God used to ask Elijah again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And the Lord gave Elijah a very, very clear instructions. And they may not have been the instructions that Elijah wanted to hear. He said initially, go back and do this, this, and this. And Elijah may have been thinking, well, hang on, I'm tired, I've got to go back. But what was Elijah? He was obedient. He went back and he did those three things that God told him to do. He had to empower other people and to raise Elisha up for future ministry and for future prophetic words. And so he went back. He anointed Hazael, he anointed Jehu, and he anointed Elijah to succeed him as a prophet. So the Lord gave him clear instructions in only that gentle whisper that led to the call of Elisha and laying the foundations of future history. So too are we called to be obedient in all things, often not knowing at the time the significance or the extent to which our obedience will impact people or the future. But I want to now draw toward the next passage where we each have a part to play. And Catherine spoke about that with regard to that family that was on the screen there for a while. We each have a part to play in God's plan, wherever and whatever our journey happens to be right now. So I want to ask us, what's going to equip you for the journey that God has for you? What's going to equip us for the journey that God has for us? Well, let's start with the Word. Well, for Elijah, it was both physical and spiritual, as I mentioned, being well fed for the long journey and listening to the Spirit of God. But there are good practices that we can put in place as well. For instance, just taking on for ourselves regular sleep, decent eating habits, working toward a healthier and fitter lifestyle. Imagine if God calls us on a 40-day and 40-night journey and we haven't looked after those sorts of things. These are things that we can do. So the Lord tells us, be sensible, be productive with your bodies. Early to bed, early to rise. Simple things like this. Praying with another person. Having an accountability partner. We're moving toward now spiritual needs as well. And we need to be putting these things in place. And this is why I'm delighted, so grateful for your prayerful support and invite again just a sharing of what we can be praying for you guys so that we can be praying for one another and to enter into accountability type relationships where we actually have somebody where we meet with however regularly, perhaps weekly, to be able to talk through things and say, well, how is this difficulty going now? Whatever that difficulty is. So there are things that we need to put in place for ourselves, practical things, and then the spiritual things. If we go to Psalm 119:105, we would know there that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so we have the Word and his Holy Spirit that we need to be tapping into. We need to take time to sit and listen, not just fast spiritual food, if you understand what I mean, of reading, praying and going, but sitting and listening and meditating upon the Word of God. We need to give ourselves that time for meditating, for being able to take the time to listen, to hear what God would be saying. And yet, if I'm in a hurry, it's, oh, quick, my 10 minutes or half an hour, whatever, read the Word, pray, yes, now I've got to go. I don't have time to listen to you, God. We've got to take that time to hear what the Lord would be leading us in. And then, in line with what you've been hearing about previously about obedience, we need to act on what we hear and to act in obedience. Now, coming back to the end of the previous slide, I said there we each have a part to play in God's plan, wherever and whatever our journey happens to be right now. And that's where Romans 12 verses 4-8 come in, where it's talking there about one body. Though we are one body as a church, thankfully, we don't all have to have the same function. That is, we don't all have to be the musician, the preacher, the pastor, the computer guru. We've all got our different skills, all working toward to serve God as one body. But there are many, many functions there. And Catherine was trying to speak to that with regard to the family that and how the ministry has been from so many different places to bring that family as an example to know more of God. We've each got different gifts given to us according to the grace given to us. And so we need to be seeking out what are our gifts. Whatever we have, we need to be using wisely and with good stewardship. Using them. And it's almost like at this point, OMS International has got four different areas of work. We are at the current moment working in church planting and working with the local Spaniards to bring Spanish people to know the Lord, be that through small home Bible study groups, working with the local Spanish pastor. There's a team of Spanish, there's a few churches a distance away and a more local one with Spanish pastors. And the vision that RMS International has exactly matches the vision of those Spanish pastors of planting churches in 15 villages just around north of where we are. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do, to work with the locals, to bring through small home Bible study groups or just meetings and discussions and praying and inviting other people in to extend the kingdom of God in that way. That's the key area that we're working in at the moment. But there are other areas, and I get to this because of using our gifts. It could well be in years to come that we would move into one of the other areas of ministry that RMS has. There are two that I'm thinking of. One is where they have a huge campsite, which is really a glorified version of what we were in for 12 months. We were working with Jill Spink in, with Latin Link in that Casadas small retreat house. And OMS has a bigger one of those accommodating about 150 people that we may well, in years to come, move into that area of work. And furthermore, a third area is a school for missionary kids, but it's reaching out to others that are not saved. Many of the missionary kids are not saved, but there are other people coming into that school for various reasons where that school is fully staffed by missionaries. And so at the moment, whilst we have teaching qualifications, we are not in a position to work in that school yet because we would need full support to be able to do that, as those teachers have, because they're not getting any salary from the school itself. But that's not what God's calling us to right now. It could be in years to come. But right now, the work is to work in a secular, in teaching English, to earn the income and to, in any spare time, to be able to work in the church planting area as well. So that, by way of a nutshell, I got to because of needing to use the gifts that God has given us. And our gifts have been over the years in teaching and certainly our qualifications there. So where am I to use them? Well, I remember standing here about 18 months ago and chatting about this very topic that, as Jim said in the introduction, we are to use these gifts right where we are. You don't have to go to India or Spain or deepest, darkest Africa unless God tells you to. But most of the time, most of us, hey, we're here. So this is your mission field. And I just want to challenge you again to be looking for the places that you can be serving God in your household, in your workplace, in the shop. And I tell you, especially in Spain, when we are so noticeable as foreigners, people know us before we know them. And so the way we get on and off a bus, the way we speak to somebody on the street corner, the way we speak to the shopkeeper is so noticed that we can just bring something of God without having to talk about God. We can bring something of God just by the way we are, by the way we relate to the people, how we treat them. And I reckon that this area is no different. Well, okay, there are differences because you're not noticed as foreigners, but you can be respecting the bus driver or the shopkeeper or the bank clerk or whoever in the same way that we are feeling we are always under scrutiny, always under the local person's eye, able to see what we're like. And then when they learn that we're Christians, they can put two and two together and think, ah, so that's why they responded kindly or patiently or something, except for my sinfulness when there are times that we fall short. But guys, these are the things that I wanted to bring to you, that we are one body with many parts. Elijah was on a mountaintop experience and he came down from that quickly, but the Lord provided for him. He wanted out, but then he told him what to do and he was obedient and he went and did it. So just coming to the back to the topic, you, me, us, missionaries, it depends on what a missionary is. It depends on what the mission is. Well, our mission, and it's probably not too different to yours, is to know God and to make him known. And we can do that wherever we are. And we need to do it in obedience to his calling. So if that is your mission, well, you may have a mission of your church, may have a vision, a mission of its own. But this is what we're working on and trying to do it not in our own strength, but by the power of God working through us. So finally, Elijah was running for his life just moments after that fantastic victory of fire coming down. But even at that point, the Lord had a part for him to play, to go back and to fulfill, to lay the foundations for future history. And we are one body. We all have a part to play as we are part of that one body. And so I challenge us to find out what that part might be and to be obedient to his call right where you are now. May we just close in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for your word, for the example of Elijah. And Lord, I come back now to that challenge at the beginning of this talk, that we might each individually be reminded of some mountaintop experience and how quick it might be for us to fall into a deep valley again. Lord, may it be that our eyes would be so fixed on you that we are not blown about in the wind by the highs and the lows, by the good times and the bad times, but that we would be just focused on your purpose for us, and that that purpose would come clearly through your Holy Spirit speaking to us, through the Word of God here, that we would take the time to listen, to hear, to respond. Lord, empower us by your Spirit as individuals to be serving you in whatever field you have for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.